Community Matters, solutions to local issues, and discussions with leaders who are making a positive difference. From your encouraging Spirit FM, here's your host, Doug Day.
Welcome back to Community Matters right here on Spirit FM. And today we are joined by Reed Kennedy. Reed is the Volunteer Executive Director for Hope to Walk. Reed, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's delightful. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So as we get started, share with us a little bit about what Hope to Walk is and the area that you serve.
Yeah. Hope to Walk, bottom line, puts low-cost prosthetic legs on poor people in poor countries, to kind of sum it up. It works primarily in Central America and also in Tanzania, Africa, as well, where we have clinics.
So share a little bit as well, just about how the organization got started, how long they've been around for, and also how you got connected with them.
Yeah, the founder of the organization is Phil Johnson. He's a certified prosthetist or certified orthotist. Had his practice here in Blacksburg, where Hope to Walk is based. And he had a successful practice here. And it was about 20 years ago, someone asked him if he could help a kid down in Guatemala who was an amputee. And he said, yeah, I can help him. I'll go down there and fix him up. And the story is, went down there, was able to fit a leg on this 12-year-old boy. And the next day, there's like 15 kids with their parents at the door, all needing prosthetic legs. And he'll tell you, God touched his heart. He came back and started thinking, you know, how can we address this issue? Because the cost of prosthetics are totally out of sight for people mm-hmm. down there. They're very expensive. Here, as you may know, you know, $10,000 up, and down there, even $5,000 and up, and just out of reach for folks. So, and wheelchairs don't work very well in these countries. You know, the streets are dirt. There are no sidewalks. The door openings may not even be wide enough to get wheelchairs through. So Phil was an inventor, a thinker kind of guy. I like to say he lives up at 30,000 feet. And he started thinking, started fooling around. And 11 patents later, he's invented a low-cost prosthetic leg, basically. It's a below-the-knee leg right at this point, using basically household materials. The main stick, you call it the pylon, is PVC pipe with an oak dowel, for example, instead of titanium. We value the leg at about $250, a whole lot less than the $5,000 and up that a normal prosthetic leg would cost somebody. And he, with some help from other volunteers, kind of got the organization started. It's actually 10 years old as far as, you know, being an official nonprofit 501c3 organization. And Phil has gone full time with the organization. He's the only paid employee, along with what I call his sidekick, Max, who has been with Phil for over 2 years. Phil has trained him. Phil can put on legs. I mean, so Max can put on legs. Also, Max speaks Spanish and speaks four languages. And he goes wherever Phil goes. Phil does not speak Spanish very well. So traditionally, in the last 10 years, clinics have gotten started in Guatemala, Honduras, and Tanzania. That's kind of the background of the organization as well, with support from, basically, we live off of donations.
That's amazing. Yes. Such a unique thing that, you know, people may not even think of, you know, when it comes to prosthetics in other countries, but just to see, you know, just Phil's mind for that, and share a little bit about where your passion comes from to serve alongside this ministry.
Yeah, my background is hospital administration. I have a master's in that, and also have a master's in public health. And I was a missionary in Colombia at a Baptist hospital there back in, early in my career. And so healthcare, especially for poor people like in Colombia or Central America, Africa, I'm passionate about. And I ended up teaching at Virginia Tech my last 13 years of my career here in Blacksburg, retired here, and was basically a volunteer consultant with a lot of mission hospitals. And one of those was a hospital in Honduras that I was working with, and they had had a prosthetic clinic run by a missionary who ended up having to leave, and they hoped to train a national Honduran to be able to do prosthetics and reopen their clinic. And so I told them, hey, I know about this place right here in Blacksburg. I actually met Phil early on when they had just opened and had attended some of their fundraisers and things like that. And so I met with Phil and the executive director at the time about maybe starting a new clinic at this hospital. Long story short, that got started this past June. But this was summer of 2023 when I was talking to them, and they said, "Oh, by the way, we could use some volunteer help." And the stuff I was doing with mission hospitals was starting to slow down. So I started volunteering, basically helping the executive director. She would slide off projects to me. And after a couple of months, she decided to move on. She'd been doing it for 6 years. Her parents were getting older, needed some help out in California, and just kind of fell to me to be the executive director. So that was basically in October of 2023. So I've been in the position for a little over a year. That's kind of how I got started. I found the mission extremely rewarding. I've been to Guatemala and the clinic there. I've been to Honduras, and I'm very comfortable in Latin America anyway. I haven't lived there for 4 years and seen the work. And I'll tell you, Doug, it's so much more than giving the gift of walking. In the Latin culture there, and I've been told in Africa as well, when you have a physical deformity by birth or because of amputation, whatever, sadly, the society shuns you. You become a third-class citizen. You have been cursed by God. Because of that, you live a life of alienation. Your family is ashamed of you. You've brought shame to your family. And you basically, go live in the back room kind of thing. And so when these folks get a new leg, and when they wear pants, you can't even tell that they have a prosthetic limb. And not only gives them the gift of mobility, it gives them hope for a whole new life. They have the ability to be independent. They can work again. They can take care of their family. They can get around. They have a whole new life of dignity that they didn't have before. So it really changes their life.
It really is powerful to even just see how, and that was even what I was going to get into, is what does it do beyond just meeting those physical needs, but even you seeing what that's done and being in these countries, is that something that encourages you every day to kind of keep going?
Very, very rewarding. I was in Guatemala 11 months ago now in our clinic, and the first patient that came in was a gentleman, probably about 60 years old. He was an amputee because he had stepped on a nail. Can you imagine stepping on a nail here? At worst, you go to the ER and get a tetanus shot. He wasn't cared for correctly there. Infection set in, and his leg was cut off. And when he came in with his wife and son, and he got his new leg and he started walking the first time, I looked and tears were coming down his face. And his wife and his son were starting to cry. And I started to cry. I was not expecting the emotion that getting a new leg would make on someone like that. And it's pretty incredible because he was getting not just the ability to walk, but reintroduced to a normal life instead of a life in the shadows. Sadly, down there, Phil guesses about 80% of the people that we put legs on are diabetic. And they lose their leg. And down there too, there's no diabetic education, no prevention. You get diabetes and your leg goes bad and the answer is cut it off. The other main source, sadly, are accidents, mainly little motorcycle accidents. Most folks down there can't afford a car. Some can afford a motorbike. I mean, I've seen a family of five on a motorbike. And, the traffic rules are chaotic. They have a wreck, their leg gets mangled, and here, go to the hospital, orthopedic surgeon, puts a rod in or whatever, go to rehab. 3 months later, you're good as new. Down there, they don't have that expertise, and the answer is cut it off. There was, again, when I was in Guatemala one day, there were four guys that came in, pretty young guys, all that had motorbike accidents. They all came in at 9 in the morning. 4 hours later, at 1 o'clock, they were all walking out. And it was a celebration. It was just amazing. The family was there, and it was just really, really incredible again, because they knew they were getting restored to a life of normalcy again and life of dignity.
So as we look back at 2025, Reed, would love for you to share just some of the accomplishments, some of the high points for Hope to Walk, and what that year kind of looked like for you guys.
We were able to expand considerably. The number of legs we put on almost tripled the number of legs in 2025 over the previous year as well. We were able to open up that new clinic at the hospital in Honduras and started the opening of a new clinic, a second clinic in Guatemala, in the capital city. The other clinic where we run is about 3 hours outside the city, up in the Mayan Highlands, with a very poor area of Guatemala. And also, we're moving forward with an above-the-knee prosthetic leg. So far, they've all been below the knee. They're much simpler that way. The above knee gets very complicated because of the knee joint. Phil has invented a knee joint that we 3D print, and he's got it on 6 patients right now being tested. In fact, he just told me last week that one of them, the knee joint broke, which is a good thing. We'd rather know now rather than, start producing, then find that the knee joint is not as strong as it needs to be. We hope in 2026 to be able to introduce and produce that above the knee leg, or amputees above the knee, then below the knee. So it opens a whole new area of service to amputees. We've also got a little girl down in Guatemala. Phil has fixed her up with a pediatric arm. He's got some patents on. We hope to be able to introduce that arm possibly this coming year as well. It's being tested on this one little girl. And there's a second girl down there that he's going to put it on for testing as well. We also will be opening a new clinic in Dominican Republic. Phil and Max went there a little over a year ago and did a clinic. The Lions Clubs are very supportive of what we do. That clinic was sponsored by a partnership between the local Lions there and a group of Lions Clubs up in New York City. And they were there for a couple of weeks and want a full-time clinic. And we'll be opening up a full-time clinic there in March, as it's scheduled. Right now, another clinic in Guatemala. That this is kind of unusual. Again, Phil thinks out of the box. And the concept is 2 shipping crates that kind of sit side by side. We already have them. A board member has been gracious enough to buy those and donate to them. We've had volunteers paint them out. 1 shipping container will be a shop, a production shop to reproduce what we do here, replicate it down there. The other will be a clinic. They'll kind of sit side by side with a roof over. There's a mayor of one of the towns down there that has property he wants to donate because he wants this service for the people in that region of Guatemala. So this is another clinic that we believe will be in place during 2026 as well. And another clinic in central Honduras is cranking up. Phil's been there. There's a group that wants it there. They've already got a place to donate for the clinic. It's just a matter of pulling some more details together. But that should be hopefully open running. March is the timetable on that one also. And then, kind of sad, we've got a long list of people who have contacted us, various countries, most of Latin America. There's another hospital in Tanzania that wants us there. I had a call from a guy in Jordan, and we just don't have the capacity to get all these going at one time. But there's a list for us to continue to try to grow the service and provide these legs for the world's poor.
Yeah, it's amazing, Reed. It's amazing work that's being done. So, as we get close to wrapping up here, would love for you to share where the best place is for people to get info on Hope to Walk and how to even support the work that's being done as well.
Well, thank you for that question. That's very, very kind. As I mentioned, we live off of donations. And our website is simple. It's hopetowalk.org. And there's a bunch of videos there, which I would encourage your listeners to click on some of the videos to actually see the miracle that happens where people get new legs. Of course, there's a donation page there also. We have a kind of a unique way for donations. If somebody donates $250, which is basically donate a leg, we call it give a leg in honor of someone. And like, for example, if I could donate $250 to honor my father, my wife, or child, or whatever, when Phil and Max build that leg, then my wife's name goes on that, on the foot of that leg, and pictures will be sent to my wife of, who's getting the leg and their background and stuff. And then every morning when that person's putting that leg on, they see that person's name and realize that person or somebody related to them cared enough about them to give them the gift of walking and hope for a new life. We just started taking donations of cryptocurrency. appreciated stock. There's a number of different ways. We also have a sponsor a child amputee. If somebody basically adopts a child, they get their picture and connection with them and their family. And if they donate $250 a year or $21 a month, and that guarantees that that child will get a new leg every time they need one as they grow. It might be every year, it might be, wait a year or two, depending on how fast they grow. So, a number of different programs for donating.
I love that, Reed. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's amazing to hear the work that is being done. And if there's anything we can ever do to help get the word out, we'd love to be a part of it. But yeah, thank you for just your openness and willingness to use your skills and your gifting to help, continue to encourage people and meet their needs where they are. It's amazing to see. So thanks so much for sharing your story today.
Certainly grateful, Doug, for being able to share this. It's, as I mentioned, very, very rewarding for me. We give glory to God for the ability to be able to impact His kingdom this way. And we are very grateful that we can make more awareness of what goes on through our work through Hope to Walk. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. So if you want more information about Hope to Walk, all you have to do is go to hopetowalk.org. Thank you.
If there's a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Community Matters, please send an email to office@spiritfm.com. Thank you for listening to Community Matters on your encouraging Spirit FM.